Now, a half hour with the accent on danger.
You understand I shouldn't sell you a gun. I hope you understand the inconvenience you put me to sell you a gun.
I have $200.
Very well. I'm taking a great risk. That about covers it. Here. I'd appreciate it if you'd take the back way out. Melodramatic as you might think it appears, it'll be doing me a favor.
I understand your position.
Good. Thank you, and good night.
Good night. That's what it's come to. A gun for Audrey.
Season of Death. Story number two in a series of four with the accent on danger. The program is written and directed by Rod Conybeare, and tonight tells the story of Charlie, an ordinary fellow who is forced into the decision that murder is his only way out. From a philosophical discussion on a park bench to the killing of a beautiful woman during Season of Death, the accent is on danger.
It's not pleasant to die in the spring, this I know. It's not pleasant to die any time, but one might feel better about it in the fall or winter. Those are the seasons of death. There's a comfort in knowing that the things around you are meeting with death also. There's a kinship, and one would not be lonely. But in the spring, it is something else again. The old man in the park was telling me how he felt about it. His breath smelled of beer, and he leaned very close to me.
You know what? I don't care. I just don't care.
Don't be silly. Everyone cares.
I'm the one who doesn't. You know why?
Why?
Because I got nothing to lose. Here, you got a cigarette?
Here. Oh, no. They're in the other pocket.
It's only people who own things that worry about dying. Because they got something to leave behind. I ain't got nothing to leave behind, so it don't matter.
Here. Cigarette.
Oh, thanks. You got a match?
Somewhere. Let me look.
I once knew a guy who was always worrying about dying. All the time, that's all he talked about. I came all the way up from Frisco to Chicago with him riding the rods. It's enough to drive you nuts. All the time he keeps saying, do you know what happens? Nothing. That's what happens. Here we are today. We might all be dead tomorrow. That's what he kept saying.
Here.
Huh? Thanks. So I was getting all this for days. He'd say, you're standing looking up at the sky, but in another second you could be dead. And when you're dead, there's nothing. Just nothing. That's what he kept telling me. Here I was traveling all the way from Frisco to Chicago with a darned atheist.
You didn't believe him about there being nothing?
Well, that I don't know about. I keep talking about it. All the time he was talking about it. Finally, we hit Chicago and we says goodbye. He's about to cross the street. He says, don't you forget that I might even be hit by a car when I cross that street when I least suspect it. And then he crossed the street.
And what happened?
Hey, you wouldn't believe this. He got hit by a big Buick.
Did he die?
I don't know. I got away from there as quick as I could. There was cops standing around. I ain't got no social security card. Besides, it was enough to give you the creeps.
But you yourself don't worry about it. It doesn't bother you.
Sometimes at night.
Yeah, the finality of it. The fact that when one is dead, it's irrevocable.
Huh?
I mean, you can't come back. And there's so many things to miss. Like those crickets. Like this park. I imagine that's what hurts when you die.
Hey, you're morbid. What's a guy have to be as morbid as that for?
I'm sorry. It's on my mind.
Yeah, that's fine. That's fine for fellas your age. How about me? I'm 52. That's how old I am. You got no right talking about things like that in front of me. I'm going.
Here, wait a minute. Buy yourself a few drinks in memory of your friend who was hit by a Buick.
Okay, but just shut up about it. Just do that with me, okay? I bet you're a writer or something. One of those clear ducks.
So long.
Goodbye.
He left with the odor of stale beer lingering behind him. He was a very old man, older than he'd said, really. His face had been all pain, and I'd been cruel to make him think like that. But I couldn't help it. I couldn't help talking about death this spring night, for it was so close to me. I was going to commit a murder, and I was very puzzled and worried about it.
In spring, a young man's fancy.
Audrey, my wife, had a very nice voice. I loved everything about Audrey, but her voice, I think, most of all. She had a way of half-whispering when she was talking to someone she liked. It made the conversation very confidential and very precious. It was a wondrous thing to be able to come home to Audrey.
A young man's fancy lightly turns to thoughts of love.
Hello, Audrey.
Hello, Charlie.
I said you're beautiful.
That's what I meant. In the spring.
In the spring, isn't it?
Very much so. Hear the crickets?
You're very nice, Audrey.
So are you.
In the Pacific, you were very nice, too. At night, I used to think about you a lot.
Did you, Charlie?
But towards the end, I... Will you forgive me?
Of course. What?
Forgot what you looked like. It means it's a long time. One night, I tried to remember you, and I could hear your voice, but I didn't remember what you looked like.
Oh, Charlie. Put your arms around me.
I don't want that ever to happen again. It was awful. I want you to marry me so it'll never happen again.
It'll never happen again, Charlie.
You're so beautiful. And I forgot. It's been such a long time.
You understand I shouldn't sell you a gun? I hope you understand the inconvenience you put me to sell you a gun.
I have $200.
Very well. I'm taking a great risk, but that about covers it. Here. I'd appreciate it if you take the back route. As melodramatic as you might think it appears, it'll be doing me a favor.
I understand your position.
Good. Thank you. Good night.
Good night. That's what it's come to. A gun for Audrey. That was tonight, just before I sat in the park, the buying of the gun. But the other was 5 years ago, and it seems closer. The gun is a dream, Audrey and I in love. No, no, I mustn't lose it. The gun is a real thing. I will not back down. The gun is a real thing, and this bar is a real place. And the clock tells me that Audrey will be home in an hour and a half, and that is real. And I must visit her with the gun. There. There, I can feel the package in my pocket. That is very real.
What cheers, mister?
A highball, please.
What kind of highball?
Scotch.
Thanks.
Audrey is so young. It must be so hard to die.
Did you say something?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking out loud.
Because I'm not the type of woman who talks to strange men in a bar. It won't do any good to say something.
I didn't mean to offend you.
Men have the strangest notions. Just because a girl is sitting by herself having a quiet drink, they think she is really looking for a man.
I didn't think that at all.
Here you are, mister. She bothering you?
Ah, shut up. He's lonely.
Just give me the word, mister, and she goes.
Oh, it's all right.
Okay, suit yourself.
He's a jerk. A great big jerk. He's got no teeth. Imagine, is she bothering you? What a thing to say. What's your name?
Well, my name is Charlie. What's yours?
I'm Angela.
Angela is a very lovely name.
I think so. It's got attraction.
Do you want a drink, Angela?
I got one. You know what I said about you, Charlie, when you walked into this lousy joint?
What?
This guy don't belong in this lousy joint. He's got a nice face.
Thank you. You've got a nice face, too.
You've got a gentle face.
Do you really think so?
Sure. That's what you don't see these days. All the guys these days are smart alecks. Self-satisfied jerks. Big muscles and no brains. Must have been the war that done it. You don't find many guys who are gentle these days.
You're gentle, Charlie. I always feel so peaceful with you, darling. You're like no other man.
Is that right, Angela?
What?
What you just said.
Oh, sure. Think I'd tell you a lie?
But you don't even know me.
That's beside the point.
Enough, you, Charlie.
It's too much. It's too much to take her life just for that.
Huh?
Oh, I'm sorry. I was thinking. What's that he's playing?
I don't know. Something about that feeling goes feeling down in my toes or something like that.
Why does he have to play that?
I don't know what he's playing. He's drunk all the time.
I don't like it. I don't like that music.
Tell me about yourself, Charlie.
Tell you about myself? Here's what about me. I don't do anything. I can't do anything. Oh, I have money. That's because my father had a whole lot of drug stores. But he did all the work, and now the company works itself, and I have no talent in anything. Very lonely being like that. I know something. I know what Guadal was like. So do lots of other men. I know that I love Audrey, and I used to think she loved me. I used to think that.
Oh, you great big jerk.
Yeah, man, I was hoping you'd be able to make it, you great big ugly celebrity.
I always thought I'd sell a painting one day when I got through occupying Japan.
Remember how I used to talk about how I'd paint when I got
there? Remember, my right ear is still stiff.
Hey, this is some party.
Don't tell me you hired a band.
Oh, no, just a phonograph over there in the corner.
Can't even see it for all the people.
Looks as if you got half the city here.
Hey,
who's that gorgeous brunette over there?
Introduce me, neighbor.
Hands off, that's my wife.
You're kidding.
Look, that's not the girl in those pictures you used to show me. The one who always looked as if she was fresh out of high school.
Hey, Audrey, come here, will you?
Sure, this is a sophisticated get-up.
Hello. I recognize you from pictures in the paper, don't I?
You still travel in the morning, don't you, dear?
I'm a terror in the wee hours. I know. You're Ed Newton.
I'm Ed Newton. Hello. You know, Charlie's a very lucky guy.
Ed is the only celebrity I know, Audrey. You treat him with respect. Eh?
I think you paint the most wonderful pictures.
I'd like to do one of you. Free for nothing grand.
In his private studio, the one that's soundproof.
No use. Charlie knows me much too well. Hey, isn't that old Four Eyes Cortland over there?
Sure, I invited all the fellows from the old outfit that I could dig up.
Oh, this is an occasion. He was the lousiest sergeant we ever had.
Hey, Four Eyes. Remember me, the guy who used to help you bootleg all the happy
years? He's very dynamic, isn't he?
Oh, he's a great guy. Did you ever see any of his paintings?
They were printed in life, weren't they?
Sure, I showed them to you. That's funny. I went through the whole campaign with him and saw exactly the same things he did. But the way he painted them when he got back, I understood what he was showing us. I understood how blind I was all the time I was with him. It's funny.
He doesn't look like an artist. I guess the good ones never do.
Sometimes I wish I could do things like that. Something that would make other people feel things. If Ed were to die tomorrow, he'd die with the knowledge that he was worth something.
Is that right?
I beg your pardon?
Is that like what you said? That your old man left you a lot of money?
Did I say that?
Sure, just now. Are you a millionaire or something?
I'm sorry, I have to go. It's getting late.
Don't go, Charlie. What's in your pocket?
What?
For the last 5 minutes, you've kept putting your hand in your pocket. What you got there? A $1,000 bill? Hey, Charlie, wait. Charlie, well, can you beat that, huh? Millionaire. That cheapskate didn't even buy me a drink.
On the bridge, there was a cool fog that helped my thinking. It would be like it was overseas. It would be no worse. I'd killed many men, and I shouldn't be afraid now. A policeman. Is he a policeman coming? It's hard to see. Yes, he is. He's big and husky. They all are. What is it about that uniform that sets them apart from other men? Why don't you think of them as men like yourself?
Good evening, officer.
I shouldn't have said that. He looked suspicious. But he's going. Would he be surprised when he finds out tomorrow morning that I'm going to commit murder in half an hour? He'll say, I thought he looked suspicious. Oh, what would you do in your great blue uniform? What would you do if you found out about your wife what I know about Audrey? No, you wouldn't have a problem like that. Your wife's probably had 3 or 4 children. She's lost a figure. Nothing to worry about there. Your wife isn't the kind of woman that would appeal to Ed Newton. How long ago it seemed, that terrible night. And yet it was only a month ago. A short month ago.
Hope you didn't wait up.
I went for a drive earlier.
Margaret and I went over to her place after the show. We had a drink and got to talking. You know how it is.
Sure.
Herb's got an ulcer. Isn't that awful?
Herb?
Her husband, Mr. Absent-Minded Professor.
Oh, too bad.
You coming up?
Guess so. Drove around to Ed Newton's place earlier.
You did?
Yeah, I didn't go in, though. The light was on in his studio. Didn't want to disturb him if he was painting.
He's got an exhibition in the gallery this week, hasn't he?
Yeah, his impressions of occupied Japan.
We'll have to go see him.
How was Margaret?
Oh, you know her. She's always afraid she's got some dreadful disease. You coming up?
How about Ed? How was he? Didn't you recognize my car across the street when you were going into his place?
Charlie, must you mumble? What did you say?
Nothing. We'll talk about it later. I'll be up in a few minutes. I have some thinking to do.
Good night.
Good night, Audrey. Why was it, Audrey? It couldn't have been because he had money. I've got more than he'll ever have. Good painters like Ed never get rich. Maybe that was it in itself. He did something. He created. He had something that put his picture in the paper and everyone knew his name. He was somebody. He was worthy of your love. All I ever created was my love for you, and that isn't much. It was the only thing I ever had, Audrey, and you've killed it. Oh, you've killed it. You deserve to die for that.
Taxi! Taxi! Hop in.
I've been waiting 5 minutes.
This is a bad corner. No stoplight.
Where to? 142 Melrose Avenue.
That's a long ride. Want some music?
It doesn't matter.
I get a kick out of that song, Come On to My House.
How about you?
I haven't heard it. Thought everybody knew that one. It's the rage.
Is it?
Sure.
Funny, I've never heard it.
That's a good one, too, though.
I know that one. I'm a sucker for romantic tunes.
So is my wife.
We run out of needles.
Oh, fooey.
It's your fault. I asked you to bring some more from the beach house.
We didn't have any more, Smarty Pants.
Well, Helen, you'll listen to the music of the ocean and be happy.
Is there always a sun like this down here, though? It's wonderful.
Not always. Sometimes it rains.
No.
But it's a warm rain.
Think of everyone up north freezing.
Here we are melting in the sun. Doesn't it make you feel positively sadistic?
Absolutely.
Can we come down here every winter?
You want to?
After Christmas, of course. Perish from loneliness if there weren't snow around me at Christmas time.
Don't move, there's a bug in your arm.
Oh, Charlie, scare him away.
Dead.
What was it?
I don't know, just a bug.
You didn't have to kill him.
Don't worry, dear, you didn't know what hit him.
I suppose not. Look at him. He looks so sad.
Tell you what, we'll bury him in the sand with appropriate ceremony.
Billy. Darling.
Yeah?
I just thought of something horrible.
What's that, a bug 6 feet tall?
No.
What then?
I don't think I should talk about it.
Then don't. You won't find me showing signs of curiosity. What is it?
I thought you weren't going to show any signs.
I'm weak-minded. What?
Don't lie.
Of course not.
Well, here we are, lying in the sand with the ocean, and all this sun and the sky. I've never seen it so blue of you.
No.
You're not looking at it.
Looking at you?
Don't make fun of me.
I'm not, darling.
It's so warm. There's light as far as the eye can see. And someday we'll die.
Hey.
But that's right. You'll die or I'll die. There isn't much chance of us dying at the same time, is there?
You have a very pleasant mind.
What do you suppose it's like? Just before we die. Realizing that all this is... slipping away from... forever.
Honey.
Charlie, hold me.
morbid little creature. Whatever made you think of a thing like that?
Oh, darling, if I ever get sick or anything, you'll do all you can, won't you? Especially if there's something the matter with my head. I've always been afraid of a brain tumor and horrible things like that.
Nothing the matter with your head, except maybe it's your little scatterbrain.
You get the best doctors and do all you can, won't you? I don't want to leave you.
I'll hire all kinds of specialists.
Good.
You are shaking.
I'm sorry. Haven't you ever been like that when you thought of it?
Yes. Lots of times.
Oh, darling, I forgot.
If you let it grip you and worry you all the time, you don't enjoy living. Just because it happens to all of us, that's no reason for you to waste your life thinking about it.
It's true. I have a very intelligent husband.
You're darn right.
Darling, am I getting fat? I looked in the mirror the other day and I thought I was, but I'm not, am I?
Oh, yes, it's terrible. I'm ashamed of you.
You dreadful man. You know, in a few months up home, it'll be spring. Let's go back before spring comes so we can watch it. Wouldn't it be awful to die in the spring? How could you stand it when everything was new?
I thought we were off that subject.
We were. I'm sorry.
I suppose I'll catch you scaring yourself to death with ghost stories for the next couple of weeks.
Oh, no, it's just that it would be awful to die in the spring, wouldn't it?
Almost missed your house. Hard to see the numbers when the houses are so far from the road.
Uh-huh.
Here you are, mister.
I'd forgotten that. I'd forgotten until now that she had a premonition. On that brilliant day in Florida with the sun and everything so full of life, and she'd thought of death. She'd known for a brief minute about tonight and about the gun in my pocket. I wish I hadn't thought of it. It doesn't help me. Thought of Audrey, vital and living, her skin all brown from the sun. Doesn't make it any easier for me tonight. Oh, what manner of killer am I? Must I be as unsuccessful in this as I have been in everything else? I can't make up my mind. On top of everything else, am I destined to be a poor murderer? Nothing like this would ever happen to you, would it, Ed? You were even a good soldier. Everything you did was done right. You had the knack. You saved my life at least 3 times overseas. She got my wife, too, after the war was a memory. And now what there was between Audrey and I is just a memory, too. Some guys are just naturally lucky, I guess. There's a light on in her bedroom. She's home now. Maybe she's combing her hair. In movies and books, they always have a beautiful heroine combing her hair in front of a long mirror. And Audrey does it just as well as any of them. You ever seen her like that, Ed? How soft the light is on her face. You just sat and watched her and thought that she was so beautiful that your heart would break from the mere looking. Will you be sorry when she's dead, Ed? Will you be able to think of the right thing then and know what to do? Will you paint a picture to commemorate the occasion? We'll have a ghost then, Ed, you and I. Maybe you'll visit this house sometime and talk to her after I pay the usual penalty. But I'll fool you then, too, because I'll be around. I'll be the other ghost that keeps butting into the conversation. Might be quite amusing. The dialogue might be quite sophisticated and funny. The house is nice in the dark. I can smell her perfume. I can smell her perfume, otherwise why am I afraid I might cry? I know I will anyhow, so I might just as well not worry about it. Not every day one kills one's wife, and perhaps I'll be forgiven if I cry about it.
She's beautiful, Charlie.
I envy you. I haven't got anything like that to come home to.
Must you do that, Ed? Must you butt in if you've no decency?
You don't see many girls who look like that nowadays.
Go away, Ed. This is my business. I'm at the bottom of the stairs, and this is none of your affair, and your remarks are in very poor taste. That's better. You've gone. Thank heavens you had the good sense to realize when you're not wanted. The gun in my pocket is warm. It's rather comforting. The handle feels friendly. Let me see. Safety catches off. Everything quite as it should be. Everything is under control, Ed, and your services aren't required. Now I can see the light above her door. It's yellow and inviting. at the top of this long staircase.
You will get the best doctors, won't you, Charlie?
No need for doctors now, my dear. This is the quick way. This is the way everyone says they'd like to go when they least expect it.
It's over, Charlie. It's over. Oh, let me kiss you, Charlie, old boy. We're going home.
Been home a long time, Ed.
Doesn't it make you feel sadistic with all those people freezing up north? And here we are down here in the sun.
I told you I'd sell some of my paintings one day.
I know you. You're Ed Newton.
Charlie, she's beautiful. You don't see girls like that.
Margaret and I got talking the other day at the show.
You won't believe this. He was hit by a big Buick.
You've got a gentle.
My hand is about to open the door, Audrey, and I promise I will not bungle it. I will make it very quick, and I will do it clean and right with one bullet.
Hello, Charlie. How are you? Would you like to give me the gun?
Oh. Who are you?
You haven't forgotten me again, have you? Take Charlie's gun, Phillips. He doesn't need it now.
Hi, Charlie.
Let's have it.
I'll take good care of it.
I shot her with it, and it's mine.
You didn't shoot anybody, Charlie. You know that.
But I heard it. I heard it.
It's empty, Doctor.
Of course. See, Charlie?
I'm sure I heard. I was sure she was standing there.
Do you want to sit down? You can if you want to.
Thank you.
You might phone Harrison Phillips. He was quite worried.
Good idea.
Who are you?
I'm your friend, Charlie.
7932J, please.
Dr. Morgan, surely you haven't forgotten me?
I don't know. I'm confused.
Of course, but surely if you think hard, you'll remember all the nice talks we had together.
Hello, Dr. Harrison. This is Phillips, sir. I'm calling for Dr. Morgan. He came here as we expected.
What's he talking about?
Yes, that's right. He bought a gun somewhere. Wasn't loaded. Everything's all right. No, not violence at all. Just another of those memory lapses. Happened last year, just the same way.
Last year? It happened last year.
That's right, Charlie. You got away from us good and proper last year, remember? And we found you here in the same way.
But I killed her. I know I killed her.
You killed her 3 years ago, Charlie.
Oh, no.
All right, sir. We'll be there in an hour. Goodbye.
Couldn't have forgotten. How could I have forgotten?
Do you think you should give him something?
He'll be all right. I think you'll remember.
You're lying to me. You never lied to me before, Dr. Morgan, but you're lying now.
No, Charlie, remember? You wanted to go for a ride because it was spring. You wanted to see the city.
No, I didn't go for a ride.
Certainly you did. And Phillips was driving, and we stopped at a red light.
And you ran out into the street, Charlie.
No!
That was a mean trick, Charlie, because it made us worry. You said you didn't like me to worry. Isn't that right?
Yeah. Yes, I don't want to be any bother.
But when I don't know where you are, I do worry.
We weren't sure you'd come here. We had to call the police.
We were very concerned, Charlie, because you're not used to a big city.
I ran and ran. I went into a movie theater and you couldn't find me.
There. You do remember?
Yes. Now I remember.
Harrison wants us back as soon as we can make it.
Of course. Charlie, you're coming with us. We'll have another car.
3 years ago, I shot her. I shot her twice. Then I cried.
That's all in the past, Charlie. And we don't worry about that anymore.
I want to cry now. I want to cry so much. Will you let me?
Certainly.
I'll do it very quietly. I'll go to the other end of the room so I won't bother you, Dr. Mark.
He'll be all right in a few minutes.
Too bad this happened. He seemed to be better. At least, I thought so.
I'm afraid Charlie will never really get well. For one thing, he's always had a chronic feeling of inferiority. Finally, it became too much for him, and he transferred the guilt complex to his wife. And then he receded into a depressed state. And that's why there was no trial. But one thing we mustn't do is let him have any more money, whether his family want us to indulge his whims or not. He could just as easily have bought some bullets with that gun.
I feel sorry for him. Actually, he's a nice guy. Never any trouble. By the way, did you notice he started to draw again?
Is he?
Just with a pencil. Worked on it very carefully. I've seen him look at the paper for 10 minutes before making one stroke. Kind of pitiful.
I imagine he loved her very much. How is the drawing? Does it resemble her at all?
You could hardly tell it was supposed to be a woman. Looks like something a 5-year-old kid would do.
Ah, pity. A great pity.
Why do you suppose he killed her, Dr. Morgan?
No one knows. I don't think even Charlie does. His best friend testified that he and his wife never quarreled, to his knowledge.
Was that the painter?
Edgar Newton, I believe his name was. He was painting the woman's picture at the time. It was to be a present for Charlie on his birthday.
He's not making any noise. How can a guy cry without making any noise?
Come on, Charlie. It's time to go. We've got a long ride ahead of us, and we don't want to be late and sleep in and then have to miss breakfast in the morning, do we?
Season of Death was story number 2 with the accent on danger. The program was written and directed by Rod Conybear, who was also heard as Charlie. Kay Knights was Audrey, with George Spelvin as the old man and Cameron Langford as Ed. Don LeBlanc was Dr. Morgan, and his assistant Phillips was Dick Barrett. Betty Kafalis was Angela, with Charles Perry and Keith Stanton. Technical operation and musical production by Ronald Kerr, sound by Cameron Langford. Next week, a young woman is hired as a housemaid by a suave, handsome, not-so-young gentleman. The salary is unusually high until we learn that her duties are not quite as presented, that they could very likely include murder. The accent is on danger at the same time next week as you hear The Hired Innocent. Banner speaking. This has been a Community Broadcasting Service presentation, originated and produced in the studios of CJOY in Guelph, Ontario.